I enjoy moving slow now. I used to move fast. I've been here long enough to age where I can enjoy being able to move slow and smell the roses. There's something about smelling the roses before somebody brings you roses that I get in touch with here. And I don't know if I need my books or what, but I brought it. But I remember getting here and they said, "Just you shot dope?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Your tools jam?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "These tools don't jam. So just in case something come in and I might need to go in there and talk about this, because relapse is not a requirement. It only become a requirement when I don't do the necessary work and preparation to build a foundation to stay strong on in this thing. Because they give us simple things to start this foundation is pray, go to meetings, don't pick up. Get a sponsor, get a network, and do some step work. Recovery is your responsibility, it's not your sponsor's. It's not my job. I'm not going to hunt you down or anything. That's on you. I'm going to provide you with the assignment, and that's what we're going to do. And that's what they taught me when I got here, and that's what I do today. I got a service commitment. I stay connected. I'll be grounded in what I need to do in my everyday life. Recovery has to become a lifestyle. It has to be part of you every day, all day, even when you don't want to. This is not, it's an active change in my ideas and attitude. When I change my ideas and attitude, my behaviors change. You know, the funny thing about how simple it is, it ain't easy. It requires work. The greatest thing about it, it requires you to be honest. I can't make you be honest. You got to become honest and willing. That's why I say how it works: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these three, we are well on our way. You need all three of them to work. With one missing, you setting yourself up to relapse. That's what makes this the greatest thing ever happened in my life. We got a chapter here called Recovery and Relapse. Yeah, I lose my mental and emotional and spiritual before I physically use. So it's right there giving me an opportunity to tell on myself. It's amazing how you can be with somebody and they walk out the meeting and use. You're in a place where you be able to tell on yourself. I got a disease. It's cunning. It's baffling. And it is insidious. It'll tell me you don't need to know what's going on with me. It'll make me a secret to myself. That I won't even tell on myself. I will lie myself in the mirror and say I'm all right and die. That's how real this thing really is. I got to take total responsibility for me. Not for you, but for me. And this is what happens that I get here. I keep doing it over and over and over and over. All I do is the same thing 20-something years ago. It's the same thing I did when I got here. Don't nothing different. It repeats in every area of my life. I know when I'm going wrong. Because I got this thing inside me. Say, "Boy, you ain't going the right way. Why are you doing this? Why you want to get over? Why my job become more important than my life?" Because this is going to get to the time you stay here. Your job is going to become more important than your life, and you're going to set yourself up. And I got to go to work. I can't make a meeting. Just these little things, I start picking away at my recovery. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Now I'm getting this. Now I'm doing that. Now I got the car. I got the house. I got all these things that I thought mattered that don't really matter. I forgot they ain't matter because I shot dope. If they matter, I wouldn't have never shot dope. They weigh on me. And when they weigh on me and I forgot that I got all this stuff, what comes with stuff is an image. I got to live up to the stuff. I don't live up to my life. I begin now to compromise my life for this stuff I got. Man, I got a nice car. So when I talk to you, I don't talk about what's going on. I talk about the stuff. Never get to me. Man, that truck is nice. Yeah, man, it's got 6 CDs in it, man. Man, it's got this, man. Listen to it. Whum, whum. You know what I mean? You look, and you can't, because you painted this picture of yourself. You invented this dude. that I'm setting myself up, that I can no longer tell the truth, that I'm afraid of what you might think of me. I better be afraid of what I might think of me. This is a life and death matter. The hardest thing to do to be here is become entirely ready. It's one of the hardest things that ever happened here. The other hardest part, now I gotta be humble to ask them to remove my shortcomings. I think I know what my shortcomings is, till I find out I don't. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to do this thing to be humble. Because the position is going to set you up to be humble. God said, well, I'm in position. I said, in position to do what? Do what? Then you're in position. What are you in position to do? I told him, it ain't your position, it's your posture. You could be in position, if your posture is wrong, you're going to miss God anyway. It ain't the posture you're talking about. We're talking about the posture of the heart. Because this is a heart-changing event here. You got to work on your heart, because if it ain't in your heart, you ain't going to do it. I'm going to tell you now. If it's in your heart to use, you're going to use. If it ain't in your heart to use, you ain't going to use. It requires a lot. It really requires a lot. I gotta give. I got two home groups. 7 a.m. I was just telling Josh. I said, you set your whole life pattern up here. What can I do? Say I should put nothing before my program. You know what the first thing I do when I get something? I put it before my program. Just that instant, because that became more than what gave me life. I will choose death over life, because I'm more concerned about how you see me and what I got than who I am. Are you sharing for relief or are you sharing for effect? You can share for effect. Ooh, you hear that? That was slick, man. Wow. But are you sharing for relief? That's why the process is about uncover, discover, to recover. That's the biggest journey you'll ever take. There's no other journey deeper than that, from mind to heart. It's the longest journey you'll ever take. I like living. I really love the way I live. I do. I enjoy it. It says we must rid ourselves of all reservation. And that's a long time. You don't do it in one setting. Reservations are hidden back for opportunities to come up to see exactly where I'm at emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Grief can be a reservation. Death can be a reservation. A loss. It's one of the major reservations we have here. And I ain't talking about people. You can lose your mind. You can lose your job. And it'll set you up. The smallest little thing that I don't talk about or tap into. This is not a walk in the park. I appreciate this. Relapse is not a requirement, but you can make it one. All you got to do is get smarter than the person who's sponsoring you. You start telling them what you need. I need to do a fifth step. You ain't done the first step. Why you need to go to 5? I'm talking about taking the biggest relapse is when I start taking control and listen, charge of my life. The moment I do that, the moment I say, well, I don't no longer need to go to these many meetings. Meeting makers make it. That's from shared experience. That's from shared that the literature will help you. It's from shared experience. It ain't what I made up. I realized it 20 something years later. Going to meeting make sense. It makes sense. I'm conditioned to get up in the morning after prayer. My next thought is going to a meeting. Going to a meeting. Then getting involved. There's three meetings. Before, during, and after. Nobody wants the after. Everybody wants the before and talk during the meeting. It's so important that you need to hear what I say while the speaker is still. And I'm telling you, somebody's going to save something that saves your soul, not just your life. This is real. The other thing I found out here, I don't allow people to waste my time. Ain't doing it. I still do step work. I still got a sponsor. I still go through tradition. I still do the things I did here earlier. That works for me. I'm in a position where I can get up and go to a meeting early in the morning. I'm up. Y'all say, you was up before. I said, yep, sure was. I'll probably be up before tomorrow morning too. Probably up before Sunday morning too. Because it becomes a practice. Everything is practice. All we do is practice. We don't do no more than practice. It's about practice. Practice. Allen Iverson say, practice? I said, yeah, practice. You wonder why you couldn't meet with the people in your basketball team? Because practice. I practice being with you. You practice being with me. You practice telling the truth. I practice telling the truth. Practice. It's all about practice. It'll never get bigger than practice. Never will. I have to keep doing this, man. Over and over and over. I have been here long enough to watch people stop practicing and use. They only going to teach you two things. What to do. You'll never get any greater experience than that. You're not going to find any more experience than them two. And that's what this thing does for me, man. I was picking the book up the other day. What do I do? Look, I start, as soon as I got the topic, I got a network. I don't sit here and think I got it. I got a network. I said, oh, hey, I got a topic. They said, what is it? For everybody took me right to recovery relay, even though I knew they took me there. And then they gave me a piece of, not a piece of religion, but a piece of their experience. So what it did, it called me down and sit back. And then while I said, well, I had to bring this anyway. Because I don't know, once you pray, I don't know where God going to take me. If I ain't got my tools, I can't use them. It's little things that'll prevent you from relapsing. I'm telling you, go to a step meeting. Take your book with you. They might say something that you might need to, and that just that little thing there. The 10th step talks about little hurts, little grudges will lead you to relapsing. It's amazing that the little things get you the major problems. It ain't the big achievements, it's the small achievements give you the greater results in your life. Good morning, thank you, how you doing, please. The greatest results, always speak. I ain't got to carry everything. I don't. I just got to keep coming here. I got to keep repeating this cycle and make it as simple as for me. I told you today I realized I like moving slow. It's something about getting 65 years old and walking like this. And everybody going by you. It's just so beautiful, man. You do, man. You stop everybody running. You stop and there's a bush of roses. You can go and smell them. That smell good. I ain't got to wait till I'm in my grave for you to give me my roses. I can't smell them then. They're meant to be smelled now. Look, relapse is not a requirement. It can and it do happen. But it will, if you come back, it makes a rigorous application of this program. It builds a hell of a foundation for you. You can't build foundation on sand. You gotta figure out what you gotta do. I worked construction for 38 years before I got the job. Now, I understand the importance of a foundation. Tall buildings stand tall because they go down deep. Recovery stand tall when I go down deep. And as it goes, anybody know anything about a seed? When you plant a seed grows where? Down. Before it grows up. And recovery, you gotta go down before you come up. You're trying to come up with no foundation, you're gonna fall over. And as the seed grows and the tree begin to grow, it grows up and down at the same time. Your foundation is the roots. The greatest part of the tree is the roots. The roots do the most work under the ground. There's people in my life that does footwork that don't nobody know about. They my roots. I stand on their shoulders. Me and Donnell back there used to go to this humility. Remember the humility group? Long time ago. And we got plugged in. Kenny. Soul food, long time ago. Crazy as hell in there. Meet you go from 6 to 10 at night. Crazy as hell. Yeah, man. That's how I got his name, No More Drama, but Every Drama. And it's still going today. You only get in recovery what you only get out what you put in. Little work. Ain't easy. I like the life that I live. You just don't wake up one day and use. It's a process to using. You could get more degrees than a thermometer and use. Going to school, educated like a mother, and can't figure out why you can't stop choosing. And he's this guy with a 5th grade education taking you through the steps because he understands the applicable application of the program. I got 3 masters, but your ass can't stop choosing. You can't put that together, but you can solve all these biology crash questions. This is a heart thing. This thing will get your heart right. It's meant to get your heart right, not your head. When you get your heart right, then you make a decision. Do I make a head decision or a heart decision? When you don't make a decision, you made a decision not to do nothing. So it's a lot. I'm telling you, man, I'm enjoying myself. I'm up here, I'm happy as a mother. Because I get, look, I ain't shoot dope today. I got clean urine. I don't know about y'all. I got some clean urine. That's some powerful thing in this cell. Just that alone, just set, you hear me? You ever had to go pee and know you used? Problem. Already I've lost the job. I ain't got there. The job is lost. Because I used, the job is lost already emotionally and mentally. It won't let me go nowhere spiritually and physically because it's lost. But it's something about having a clean urine that gives me the power to say, just maybe I can. It might just work for me. Come on, and somebody said, boy, you good? Go there, man. I trust and believe you. You can go there, man, and you get to go on there. But now you look, you walk and you get there and you pee. When you, hey, you gotta pee. I can pee twice. I can pee. Let me pee for you. I can pee for you. And you come out, you come back, because I had it happen in the house that I work at. He came in, he said, Mr. Evan, I said, what? He said, I peed. I said, you peed long? He said, no, I peed well. I'm telling you, he was good to go. He was looking at him, I think I got the job. I said, I know you got the job. And he got the job based on a clean urine. Something about a clean urine raises, elevates you, your self-esteem. It's not a requirement. You can make it one. You can really make it one. You can. I'm just telling you, man. I'm grateful. I'm just grateful. God seemed fit to go on Greenmount and 23rd Street and get this dope thing. Okay, fine. Get this dope thing and say, I got a job for you. I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. And then I got locked up on a Sunday at Greenmount Recreation Center. They had a black and white Believe sign back then. You remember them black and white Believe signs? They had them posted all around. It was a while ago. They had them posted all around Baltimore. And I came out and they locked me up. They said, I was looking for you. And he locked me up, man. And ever since then, I've been clean. Over 20-something years ago. And I'm just grateful. I got a good friend that's coming behind me. I appreciate you, Cynthia. My job was to set the stage and atmosphere for you. No matter what bar I set high is attainable for you. Relapse is not a requirement. And you don't have to make it one either. So I had the 5 minutes. I don't want you to lean on me.
I got another one.
Oh, you got two. I don't need two of them. I need some. I don't need two of them. I appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for letting me say that.
All right, I'll introduce our second speaker, and that is Cynthia.
I'm an addict, and my name is Cynthia. I'm claiming by God's grace and mercy, and Evan, I feel you. I left my book. I'm in a rental, and my book is in my car. But one thing for certain, three things for sure, Google is for a lot of things, not just, you know, the bull crap. I have the whole basic text, all the literature on my phone, so that's the good thing about it. I want to thank God for his grace and mercy. For bringing me here today. I didn't use today. I want to thank God for that. Yesterday I had 21 years clean. You know, thank you, Evan. I love you. You know, relapse is not a requirement. Just a little bit, just a very little bit background, how I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I sniffed a whole lot of heroin. I smoked some crack. I stole some stuff. I kept a job. I remember stealing from the lady in the office because she kept a pocketbook and the file cabinet in the drawer. And this particular day, I was like, I need to use, and I don't have any money. But if I got to hurry up and get in there, because she always leave out the office a certain time, and she goes to the bathroom to get ready to leave for work. And I went in her purse, and the money was right there, and I grabbed it. And I was like, all right, I thought I got away with it. You know, she came out, and she was like, were you in my office? I'm like, no, I wasn't in your office. She was like, yeah, she called the police. Like, it was a whole situation. And I was like, I don't have her money. Like, these are some of the things I did to get one more. Just only want one. That's all. Only wanted one. You know, my spirit was in such an uproar. You know, I've been clean several times before 2004. However, I didn't do any work. I got a sponsor and name only. I just need you to give me my medallion at the anniversary. I need to take some pictures and I need to put them up because we had a guy, Sookie, that used to take pictures at the anniversaries every year. He would come to your 1 year anniversary. He'd take the pictures for you and your family and they look real nice and everything. And then on day 368, I'll be using again because I was like, let me go around there and see what they're doing around there. But I already knew what they were doing. I used to call myself, I used to mimic and say, I'm a chronic relapser. You ain't relapsed not one time. You ain't did a bit of work. So, you know, a lot of times when I hear a lot of people saying, I relapsed again, Miss Cynthia, 3 days later. I relapsed again, Miss Cynthia. How about you just not finish like I wasn't? I just wasn't finished. I just continued doing what I knew I was familiar with, right? So it was never a relapse. I just used. I've been going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings since I was 21 years old. When I walked in the door, I said, I'm not like them. They talk about shooting dope in their neck, eating out trash cans, and being homeless. And I compared out. I was 21 years old working for the state of Maryland. I didn't know anything about that. I lived at home with my mother still at the time, and I was well taken care of, so I wasn't like you all. I couldn't identify. I never fit in with you guys. I came back to Narcotics Anonymous. I was 24 years old. I'm through a treatment facility. My first treatment facility, it was really nice. I was still under my mom's insurance. It was Hidden Brook. They had pond. They had, you could fish. They had little turtles. They had all the food you could ever want. I said, this is a nice place. And I got me a relationship, because every time I go into a recovery program, I get me a relationship, because they're going to make my stay easier. And I got a relationship. But the morning before I went to the recovery program, I got my test results back for HIV. And I was diagnosed with full-blown AIDS at the age of 24. I'm 54. I'll be 55 March the 5th. And the doctor stood in my face and told me I wasn't going to live to see my daughter grow up. She was 4. She said, you're not going to live to see your daughter grow up. You need to make arrangements for her. And, you know, I was still used. I was an active addiction. That stuff didn't register with me. I got all the pamphlets together. I put them in my bag because I need to use, because I got paid that day too. So I need to use before I go to the treatment. You can't go to treatment without getting high first. So that's a requirement. Yeah. So I put all the papers in the bag and I left there and I went to proceed to do what I did. And I can remember calling my mother on the phone. She was at work. When I went home to get my luggage and stuff, I called my mother on the phone. She was at work. And I told her. You know I wasn't in my right frame of mind, right? Because I just called my mother on the phone and told her that the lady said I was going to die and all this stuff. She said, Cindy, you're going to be okay. And I said, okay. And I went to treatment. Right? My T-cell count was 8. And I was angry with her until I got here and I did some work. I wasn't angry with her. I was angry at me and my situation. So I needed somebody to blame it on because I'm 24. How in the hell, God, would you let that happen to me? Promiscuous sex, Cynthia. I never shot drugs a day in my life. Because I needed to prove to you I keep having sex with them so I could prove to you that I'm not gay because I know what I'm feeling, but I know it's not acceptable because back then it wasn't so acceptable like it is now. And so I got to prove to you because y'all say I should have a boyfriend, a husband, have babies, and that's how the world is just supposed to go. And I was against the grain. I felt like I was just against the grain. So I got a pretty y'all that a light boy. So if I have, keep having sex with them, they break my virginity at the age of 12. You know, the babysitter's son molested me when I was at their house. I became a latchkey kid. It went from me being a victim to the volunteer because he came and knocked on my door after school and I didn't have to let him in, but I did. I was 9. Those are some of the things that, like, those are some of the things so I won't relapse that I have to look at in my step work, right? I haven't talked about, like, you know, it's, the thing of the matter is that even with 21 years clean, I still go to meetings at least, like, 5 days a week. I still go service. I go to MCIW. I go to Patuxent to take a meeting in. I go, I have a secretary position at my home group. I do service work. I believe in service. Service helps me stay here. I do H&I and I do PR. But I also do, I don't let service work take over. I don't replace my recovery for service with service work. I still have to talk to my sponsor. I still have to do step work. I still have to talk to sponsees. I still have to do work with them. I still have to do all these things. Do I tire? I tire. I'm going to tell you what's tiresome when Evan talked about when I'm trying to move fast and I'm trying to do too much, right? And I don't take a moment for myself. Because a part of recovery is self, right? The physical. I got to take care of my physical, my mental, my spiritual. So if my physical is not intact, it's going to mess with the other areas of my life. So I try to be on an even keel, but some days I fall off. Like I work, right? My daughter's 35 now, so, you know, she good. I work. I'm married. I go to meetings. I, you know, do all those things. But, you know, it's God, then my recovery. Because without my recovery, none of those other people, mom wouldn't matter, the daughter wouldn't matter, and I wouldn't matter. So I got to keep that up front. I must stay on the job. And on a job is the recovery process is my job. If I want to stay here and not relapse. You talked about recovery and relapse. It talks about like the proven plan. The proven plan for not relapsing, right? You talked about it. It's the set work, a connection with your sponsor, and a network of people in your life. Now, everybody has the network of people in your life that's the sanction the committee. You know them people? They don't want you calling when you really don't want to get better. You say you want to get better, but you know who to call when you really want to get better. And then you call those people over here because, like, I need some help. Them people. And those people going to hit me with some stuff. Cynthia, I need you to read X, Y, Z. Cynthia, my experience with that is that. Right? I don't have to go through the whole situation to get to the end. Because if somebody can stop me midway with their experience and I say, okay, your experience said this, I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. That's why I keep coming here with you all. Because you're going to tell me about some stuff. And you're going to tell me about some stuff. And I say, damn, she already did that. I believe it. I don't have to do it. Now, Kaiser Synonymous is a learning, teaching program. It has helped me go inside. Why did you keep using Cynthia? Because you said you accepted the fact that you were sick. But did you accept the fact that you were sick? That was a lot of, in my writing, in my step work, on my first fourth step, on my second fourth step, a lot of times, like, they say self-acceptance, right? And I say, I accept myself, I'm cool with it, I accept that shit, whatever, it's whatever. But do you really accept it? Like when my old hairdresser and her and I got into an argument because her friend was at the shop, this was some years ago, and they were about fighting over my head. And I'm like, are you crazy? And I'm like, I got up. And she made some comments, and she made some remarks because she knew I was positive. I never knew she knew I was positive. I don't care, but the fact of the matter, you thought you accepted it, but didn't you accept it when somebody on the street? I accepted it when y'all know. Right? So a deeper level of self-acceptance must take place. During the course of every layer of step work, give me a deeper level of self-acceptance. How much do I really accept myself? I can accept you. I can accept you when you mess up. And some days I sit down and I always be like, are you doing enough? Are you doing enough? You know, because look, I'm my worst critic. I said, you need to be doing this person. You know, your outsides, right? Your outsides will determine my insides. Oh, they doing this and they doing that. And I don't feel like I'm doing enough. There's something else I should be doing. No, I'm not. I'm doing just what I'm supposed to be doing. I pray. I go to meetings. I don't pick up. I talk to my sponsor. I talk to the network of people in my life. I talk to Evan, for example. I had a sponsee that don't believe in God. Allah just says, whether you believe or not. And I didn't know how to sponsor her. Because I've never had that experience. And that's what I do. And I sat with Evan one day. And he came to my home group. And I talked to him. And he said, just with the spiritual principles. It was so simple. When I tell you it was so simple. It was so simple. And that young lady has a year and a half clean. Doing well. And doing the work. It was a new experience for me. So when I had a new experience, I went to an experienced member. And I asked them, because that's what I do. I ask questions. And it's okay. When I keep stuff bottled up inside of me and don't talk to somebody about it, I'm in so much turmoil. I'm angry with the world. My anxiety will take over on 1,000 because I got some stuff inside of me that I refuse to talk about. And I'm only hurting myself. The things that I realized with the relapse is, the using piece is the last part of it. A lot of things happens before the relapse, before the physical actual using. A lot of things. I stopped calling people in my network. I stopped talking to my sponsor. My first thing I would do when I would use again is stop going to meetings. I would disconnect from you all so that when my back is against the wall, I feel like I can't call you because I haven't talked to you in so long. The disease will tell me that. Disease will sit there and say, you can't call them. They don't care. They ain't heard from you in 8 months. Go ahead and do what you do. And it was never a relapse because I did no work. You know, this says, after some involvement in the program, that's the part, you know, if we read, right, it says, after some involvement in this program and you use, then it's a relapse. Other than that, just picked up where you stopped up. Just continue back to what I was doing. You know, I've had some health issues, like maybe 2 years ago. I've had 3 brushes of death. One was the virus. I've only been hospitalized 1 time, and that was in 1994. I had pneumocystis pneumonia in both lungs, esophageal thrush, right? I was in my wasting stage. I had lost 80 pounds in 7 months. I've never been 100 nothing. I was 133 pounds. You could see my collarbone and it looked like a piece of skin was just covering it. That was my first brush of death. My second brush of death was the disease of addiction. I never relapsed, but just being a disease of addiction is a brush of death. My third brush of death was in 2023. I had pulmonary embolism. I was at a meeting one night. That's what I'm telling you. I still go to meetings. When I'm sick, I go to meetings. I knew I didn't feel good, but I went to the meeting on a Wednesday night. I was in the meeting on a Wednesday night. I was barely, my breath was terrible. I thought it was my asthma. And I went to the meeting, and one of the members in the meeting with a walker put me on his walker on the seat and put me back to my car after the meeting. The next morning, I was hospitalized. The doctor said within 24 hours, had I not came to the hospital, he would not be talking to me. I would have had a massive heart attack. Don't know where the blood clots came from. They were horrible. One lung, they laid the blood clots on a diagram so I can see it. The entire lung was impacted with blood clots stuck to the walls. You couldn't even see through it. You know, the God of my understanding, you know, we talk about in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, anybody is welcome here. The gay addict, the straight addict, y'all accept me for whoever I am, whoever I choose to be. You know, God accepts me for whoever I am and whoever I choose to be. Has saved me from brushes of death. Yes, me, the gay addict Cynthia, from brushes of death. And then I laughed and joked about it, and I told people, he don't want me up there around here chasing them naked girls. I said, stay down there with them. So, you know, my life is full.
I spend a lot of time with my mom. My mom is healthier than me. I spend a lot of time with my mom. My daughter never used drugs that I can see. I'm going to say that because I went with Alter. She's 35 now. She works for the federal government. I'm grateful she didn't follow in my footsteps. She hates drugs. I've been clean since my daughter was in ninth grade. I'm grateful. I have so much gratitude for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, a lot of times, like normally I don't share during a week, two times in 1 week. And my one of my newest sponsees, she's in a program down in Pasadena. And she called me like 2 days before and her speaker didn't show up. Her speaker called her and told her she couldn't come for their house meeting. And she said, I asked her a month ago and she kept saying, yeah, and then she didn't come. She said, Cynthia, can you please come? And my mind, I said, I gotta share Friday, but my mouth said yes. Because one thing for certain, two things for sure, she's young in recovery. She's new in recovery. We don't know what kind of disappointment, what kind of whatever, you know, can, you know, make somebody do what they do because they ask one of us, a seasoned member or a member with some clean time to come do this and to, you know, 2 days before, I don't know what the situation was. I can't even say, I don't know what kind of situation the woman was in. However, she couldn't make it. And I wasn't going to tell her no when she had already been disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I went to that recovery program and I did that meeting for her house. You know, and I got, it was a lot of love in there. It was a lot of love. I was glad I came because they were happy. You know, we sacrifice. I sacrifice a lot to get high. A lot. My state job. After 10 years with the state of Maryland, my supervisor still got always covering. Called me in her office and told me she didn't want to fire me. She said, I'm going to allow you to resign so you will have a clean slate at the state of Maryland. She said, and if you ever get yourself together completely, then you'll always be able to come back without any blemishes on your record. You know, the disease of addiction said, I resign. I signed my name. I said, do I have to wait for 2 weeks? She said, no. I said, here you go. That's insanity. You, when your mind is so warped, like not even realizing, like you just gave away your whole damn job. You could have called the union. You could have fought a little bit. I ain't had no fight in me. I was using. I had no fight when I'm using. I had no fight. I handed it over. And it was okay. It was okay. Because that's not where I was supposed to be. Right? This has been a journey. The recovery journey is a journey. It's an everyday. And every day when I wake up in the morning, thank you for waking me up. At the end of the night, thank you. I did not use. That is enough for me. Because as long as I don't use, I got a chance. As long as I don't use, I got a chance. When I use, all bets are off. My favorite commitment is the jail because 2 months before I got clean this last time, I got locked up for 2 days. You would have thought I was locked up for 20 years. I called my mother 50 times. And I said, you better get me out of here and all this and that. And she said, Cynthia, stop calling me if you're going to be yelling. And I said, but you just going to let me stay here like this? Like it was her fault I was there. And I went for bail review. I didn't even know what to do. And they say, you going for bail review? I said, what? They say, yeah, you got to go. They're going to put you in the handcuffs and the things. Why are you putting up? I didn't even put no underclothes on. All I had on was the jumpsuit. And they took me over there. And I said, oh, my God. And these big old boobs was hanging down here. And I was so embarrassed. And then they took me back over. They said they're going to release me. And so the girl said, you want your stamps? I said, girl, I'm not going to be here long enough to write no letters. You can have all that stuff. And then I was gone by that evening. But that was the, that was, you talking about a relapse could be a jarring experience? That was a jarring experience for me. Because them 2 days, I was clean. I got locked up December 7th. I got clean February 20th. I said, I'm done. Because y'all told me it only gets worse. If it's worse than those 2 days, I don't like it. That's why the jail is my favorite commitment. I love them ladies, and I pay so much homage to them because it's y'all. I told them, it's y'all that keep me clean. They said, how am I? I said, believe it or not, it's y'all that keep me clean. They got big sentences. It's y'all to keep me clean and young. I couldn't imagine. I just don't understand. And I can remember on the 19th of February, I said I wasn't using tomorrow. I didn't go to treatment. I had been to 1,000 detoxes over the years. I didn't go to treatment. I went to work that morning. I didn't use before I went to work. When I got off work, I went to a meeting. And I raised my hand and I said, I didn't use it today and I don't want to use. And it was Miracles on 33rd Street. I was a miracle out of Miracles on 33rd Street. And they embraced me and they held her to me. And the women walked me to the bathroom when I needed to go. And the guys, whoever would tell me, Cynthia, whatever, I wasn't driving at the time. What meeting are you going to tomorrow? Because that meeting was only 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And they'd say, what meeting are you going to tomorrow? And I'd tell them. And they'd say, I'll meet you there and I'll take you back home. And they did that for me. And they rocked with me. And they rolled with me. And I detoxed cold turkey in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's probably why I'm still here right now, because it was not pretty. It was not pretty, but it was doable. And, you know, through God's grace and mercy, he kept me. Right? The hardest part about this detox was at night when I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep for like 35 nights. And because I'm coming down off of heroin, and I would walk the floor and pace the floor and go lay down and go back up and go in the kitchen, drink water, go back upstairs. This was my every night for like 35 nights. Do you understand? I didn't even realize when I slept that night. The first time I slept, I woke up, I said, oh my God, I was asleep. And it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. And it was done. And it was y'all that rocked with me. Through God's grace and mercy, I'm still here 21 years later, because that was not an easy task. But I didn't die. I didn't die detoxing. It didn't kill me. But using the drugs would have. My name is Cynthia Hamnetti. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, I want to thank Evan and Cynthia for sharing, for a good meeting. All right, we're just going to close with a serenity prayer and a moment of silence. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.